Not.
Anubhuya.
Experiencing.
Na.
Not.
Janati.
Knows.
Puman.
A person.
Vishya
tikshnatam.
The sharpness of material enjoyment.
Nirvijate
becomes aloof.
Aloof
means detached, for those of you who don't know.
Swayam,
himself.
Tasmat,
from that.
Natata,
not like that.
Vinadihi,
whose intelligence is changed.
Parahai,
by others.
So
in translation, material enjoyment is indeed the cause of all unhappiness,
but
one cannot give it up unless
one has
personally experienced how much suffering it is.
Therefore,
one should be allowed to remain
in so-called material
enjoyment while
simultaneously
advancing in knowledge
to experience
the misery
of this
false material happiness.
Then,
without help from
others, one will
find material enjoyment
detestable.
Those whose minds
are changed by
others do not
become as renounced
as those who have
personal
experience.
Interesting.
So purport
by Divine
Grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda,
Śrīla Prabhupāda
Ki Jai.
It
is said that unless
a woman becomes
pregnant,
she cannot understand
the trouble of
giving birth to a child.
Manja
ki
abhujive
prasavar
vadana.
The word
bondya
means a sterile woman.
Such a woman cannot
give birth to a
child.
How then can
she perceive the pain
of delivery?
According
to the philosophy
of Prajapati
Doksha,
a woman
should first become
pregnant
and then
experience the pain
of childbirth.
Then
if she is intelligent,
she will not
want to be
pregnant again.
Actually,
however,
this is not a fact.
Sex
enjoyment is so strong
that a woman becomes
pregnant and suffers
at the time of
childbirth,
but she becomes
pregnant again
despite her experience.
According to
Daksha's philosophy,
one
should be got
implicated
in material
enjoyment
so that
after experiencing
the distress of
such enjoyment,
one will automatically
renounce.
Material
nature, however,
is so strong
that although
a man suffers
at every step,
he will not
cease his
attempts to enjoy.
Tripyanti
neha
kripana
bahu
dukha
bhajaha.
Under the
circumstances, unless
one gets the
association of a
devotee like Narada
Muni or his
servant
in the
disciplic succession,
one's dormant
spirit of renunciation
cannot be awakened.
It is not
a fact
that because
material enjoyment
involves so many
painful conditions,
one will
automatically
become
detached.
One needs
the blessings
of a devotee
like Narada Muni.
Then
one can renounce
his attachment
for the material
world.
The young boys
and girls of the
Krishna consciousness
movement
have given up
the spirit
of material enjoyment,
not
because of practice,
but by the
mercy of
Lord Sri
Chaitanya
Mahaprabhu
and
his servants.
Nice
verse.
Nanabhuyana
janati
puman vishaya
dakshnatam
nivijyate
swayam
tasman
natatabina
deeparahai.
Om
ganati madanda shah
gananjana
shalakaya
chakshur
meditam
yena tasmai
shigarave
maha.
So
this
particular
purport and
translation
reminds me of a
nice story about
Sripad
Shankaracharya.
Sripad
Shankaracharya,
who
is an
incarnation
of Lord Shiva,
he
was one time
having
a
discussion
with a
lady who was a
scholar,
and they
were discussing,
I guess,
romantic affairs
or something like that.
And
because
he, in that
particular
appearance,
had
no experience
of romantic affairs,
you know,
I guess they were
discussing the
Kama Sutra or
whatever they were discussing,
I don't know,
something to do
with love.
Anyway,
so, because
he had no
experience of these
things,
he was
not
able to
adequately
deal with the
points that she was
making.
And so
he thought,
give me a
few minutes, he
thought.
And using his mystic powers, he entered the body of a king who had just died. And that king who had just died, or the body of the king who had just died, came back to life with Shankaracharya in his body. And for a little while, Shankaracharya experienced what it was like to be a king. And then, after he'd experienced, I guess, virtual reality, what it was like to be a king, he came back, had a good argument with the lady. Lady defeated her, and I guess her husband took sannyas, and they lived happily ever after. Whatever. So, one point is that if one has not experienced this material world, then one may not know all the details, which is true. One can still be renounced from the material world because renunciation can occur, as Prabhupada mentions here, by the mercy of a pure devotee, because what does a pure devotee do? He puts bhakti in the heart. Brahmanda Brahmate Konna Bhagyuan Jiva Guru Krishna Prasadivara Bhakti Latpi. We are wandering around all these different universes or bodies, and finally we come in contact with a pure devotee. He puts the creeper seed of devotion in our hearts, and by that creeper seed of devotion we become so much in love with Krishna, then automatically renunciation arises. Just like you see when people are in love, isn't it? They renounce from everything else. I'm not saying that they're renounced from the material world. They're renounced from everything else, even from common sense. They're in love. So I'm not saying devotees should be renounced from common sense. That's pretty stupid. Prabhupada said it's a brain-giving movement. So, in other words, it's not necessary to experience everything. But sometimes one needs to have somewhat of a glimpse of experience. And I'll tell another story that's a famous story of Narada Muni and another one of his disciples. And this particular story is the story of Magrari, the hunter. So Magrari, the hunter, was quite a bad hunter. I mean, he was half-killing animals instead of fully killing them. And he would just take his jollies from watching them squirm. You know, just like if there was a trap or something like that, you know, like the spring traps. I don't know if you've seen that, but that's how they used to catch bears and things like that. So it's a trap. It's like a jaws. And if someone steps in the trap, it goes like a Venus flytrap. Anyone seen a Venus flytrap here? That's a plant that eats animals. Yuck. A vulture plant. He used to have all these devices out there somehow or other, and they were capturing the animals. The animals were caught by their legs, and they were squirming. And he used to take joy in that. And so what happened is that Narada Muni saw these animals and he freed them. And the hunter got really upset with him. Why have you done such a thing? And Narada Muni says, you know, I understand, you know, you're killing animals, you're eating meat and everything like that, but why don't you just fully kill them? And the hunter said, that's the way my papa taught me. It's been our family disciplined succession for many generations. We've been half-killing, and that's how we enjoy life. You know, people in the mode of ignorance can enjoy all sorts of stupid things. Ooh. Even sometimes there's music in the mode of ignorance. There was one musician who would bite off the head of a chicken. You heard about this? I don't want to know his name. Don't mention it, it's not polite. So he'd bite off the head of a chicken during a musical concert and spit it out. Other musicians, of course Dharma knows all these musicians. Other musicians would take the guitar and smash the guitar after. Yeah, you know, the guitar was worth probably 10,000 euros or something like that. These were my idol. Right.
I feel like
you loved him.
Yes, I loved him.
See, Krishna saved you. Because you would have been like that too, you know. taking your synthesizer and smashing it out at every concert. So anyway, so Narada Muni asked him that, and he explained this is the disciplic succession, and then Narada Muni sort of gave him a preview, rather than just preaching to him and telling him, this is nonsense, karma, blah, 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 blah. He didn't do that. Because, certain people, you just can't preach. You have to do the argumentum ad baculum. Argumentum ad baculum means sometimes like a punishment or some experience, so like, oh, no. So what happens is Narada Muni, to put it in a modern context, he puts some virtual reality glasses on the guy. Not really. But he gave the person a vision, a spurti, of what would happen in the future. And the animals were attacking him to eat him. Every animal that he had killed. And he thought, oh my God. So he wasn't ready for philosophy, obviously. But practical philosophy, sometimes people need a PowerPoint or something, or practical experience, or something to convince them, But you can't convince people simply by philosophy. Most people know. They need some experience to be convinced, right? So he said, oh my God, and he said, what should I do now? Narada Muni said, give up your hunting. He said, how am I going to eat? And Narada Muni said, don't worry, I'll take care of it. Just sit down on the banks of the river with your wife in front of a tulsi plant and chant the holy name. And so he did that, and then people brought so much foodstuffs for him that, because they recognized he's a great saint, And later on, when Narada Muni went to visit him, the story goes that he ran to see his Guru Maharaj, and he was like hopping from one place to another. It wasn't a kirtan. He was just hopping, doing the hop, hop, hop. So Narada Muni said, why are you hopping? He said, there's ants here. I don't want to step on an ant. So by chanting the holy names, not only did he become detached, of course, he had to have his experience too, which is interesting. It wasn't just, take up devotional service, karma's coming, the Yamaraj is coming to take you away, the Yamaraj is coming to take you away, like the song. There's a song like that. You heard of that song? No, there's a song that says, not Yamaraj, it says, they're coming to take me away, they're coming to take me. No one's heard that song? Anyway, it's about Yamaraj. Just like we have one Sankirtan devotee, very nice lady, and she used to distribute books in the airport, and sometimes she would distribute books to people who worked in the place where you take dead bodies. Prepare the dead bodies. Sometimes someone dies and you have to just like prepare the bodies or have a smile on it. And then you go into the funeral home and you just look, wow. He looks like he could just jump out of the coffin. Coffin is like the bed that the body's in anyway. So, I remember going to see my father's funeral. I said, Dad, are you there? Because they prepare the bodies like that. And so what happened is she asked they're called morticians. Like, mort means death. Muerte. You know Spanish, muerte. Means death, mort, that's from Latin, of course. Morticians. Would you have a word in Slovenian for those people? What do you call them? No? You don't have. Oh, okay. So now you learn a new word. So anyway, so she asked them, what do people look like when they're dying, after they've died? What is the expression on their face? And they said, very peaceful. And she said, well, tell me, what did they look like 20 years ago, before they started giving people, anesthesia before they died? You understand, nowadays, of course, before you die, they fill you up with morphine. And she said, do they look like that? And then the mortician started to shake. And they said, yes, you're right. Because of Yamaraj. Anyways, you get a good scare from Yamaraj. So here we're talking about renunciation. And, you know, yesterday I actually got real heavy about renunciation. I have to apologize. So I just kept saying, it's just the modes of nature. And, yeah. And then some of the ladies came up and said, but I really feel that I need to get married in the future. And I just said, it's just the modes of nature. It's just the modes of nature. And I traumatized a lot of devotees yesterday. Because that was my mantra rather than the Hare Krishna mantra. I said that more often than Hare Krishna. Anyway. Because I was so like in love with that statement of Krishna with the 14th chapter of the Gita. You know, I read the Gita, I become a Gita fanatic. And I just start preaching that chapter. Just the modes of nature. Just the modes of nature. I'm hungry. It's just the modes of nature. I'm tired. It's just the modes of nature. I'm angry. It's just the modes of nature, you know. That was my answer to every problem yesterday that I came across. So today I'm feeling a little more compassionate. So as far as renunciation is concerned, first of all, there's different varnas. You know, some people are naturally in the mode of goodness, some people are naturally in the mode of passion, some people are naturally in the mode of ignorance, and some are mixed, like Vaishyas. In addition to that, there's different stages of consciousness. I don't know if any of you have heard about this before, but, you know, there's the pranamaya, the anamaya platform, right? And then you have the manamaya, the vijnanamaya, and anandamaya. I mean, there's different lists given. Sometimes they eliminate the vijnanamaya or the manamaya in different lists I've read. But anyway, I'm giving you the full list. So there's different stages of consciousness that people are at. And also, people have different basic needs. I mean, I'll give you an example. Just like, for example, if you're very tired, you haven't slept because there was a big festival last night, and you got to sleep after cleaning up at 1 o'clock in the morning, and the temple president made you wake up at 3 o'clock. And you're tired, and probably grouchy, too. You know what grouchy means? Grouchy means that every time someone says something to you, you're ready to bite their head off. That's the definition of grouchy. I said, can you pass the salt? Yeah! Prabhu. You know, so... Oh, my God. You know, you ever run into people like that? I have. Every day. So, because, I mean, basically, because they have a need for sleep. And you really, you know, you can go around condemning them. It's just the mode of ignorance, Prabhu. And, you know, was that Upadesha Morganam Prabhupada Nishanta? You're just making them angry. So it doesn't really work. Or when someone's hungry, it doesn't really work. So you got all these other factors in play that indicate that we should be compassionate, because people are on different levels of consciousness. You know, and not everybody's on the Anandamaya platform or Vijnanamaya platform, or not everybody is philosophical. You know, everybody's different. And so Krishna consciousness has to be given to people, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about in his Chaitanya Shikshamrita, with awareness of people's different needs. You know, he talks about different needs, and of course, I give seminars on that, you know, different needs, that people have needs. Jai, shishi, panchatattva, shishi, gornitai, kijai. I mean, people have different physical needs, mental needs, psychological needs, emotional needs, and you can't be Krishna conscious if you, I mean, you can't chant here if you're hungry. I don't care who you are, unless you're a pure devotee. I mean, if you're the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, one pat of butter every 2 days, great. But you ask me to do it, first of all, I'm a vegan, so a pat of butter wouldn't even work. You have to eat a pat of broccoli or something like that every 2 days. So you ask me to do it, you know, it's not going to work. I'm just going to be disturbed. I'm just practically. I mean, even, of course, Prabhupada's on the greatest, highest platform. Prabhupada set an example for us. You know, one time they were trying to feed Prabhupada very simple food for his health, you know, like boiled food. And, you know, and devotees were doing that out of concern for Prabhupada's health. And Prabhupada commented, "Let the starvation committee go to hell." I mean, it's not that he was cursing people, you know, "You should go to hell because you're feeding me not healthy food." Sometimes you talk, healthy food means for people sometimes tasteless, you know, stuff like that. But it's not necessarily true like that. Anyway, so we have to recognize when dealing with people their basic needs. I mean, this is one thing is about as far as how we apply it to ourselves. We have to be aware of our basic needs, and especially being compassionate to other people. You can't impose, let's say if you're on a more renounced platform, you're on the Anandamaya platform, you can't impose on people and force people up to that platform, or else they'll just bloop, they'll just explode at a certain point and just like go down to whatever needs they have. Ultimately, they'll seek out their needs. So, it's important for us to be very compassionate. And of course, these particular individuals, the Savalasvas, Haryasvas, they actually were on a higher platform of knowledge, realization, and basically had transcended the Anamoya, the Manamoya, the Pranamoya. I'll explain what those platforms are. Actually, I should explain what those platforms are before I start just talking, throwing out names at you. So pranamaya basically means to be not a yogi, you're just concerned with prana. It means just the bodily symptoms, you know, the feelings in the body, the touch. You know. Just like I told a devotee the other day, I'm going to buy them a teddy bear. You know, one of these stuffed animals, so they can touch it and feel good. So anyway, but it's interesting that even we in Krishna consciousness sometimes on that platform at different times of the day. Like I described, you know, when we're really tired or something like that, or when we first wake up in the morning. We may be on that platform. So pranamaya means like the bodily symptoms, and then anamaya means the eating process. You don't just eat to live, you live to eat. And devotional service is just meant to fill up the time between different prasadam takings. Isn't it? Actually, when I first joined the movement, it was almost like that with everybody. We take prasadam 3 times a day, and it was just like, when is the next prasadam? I'm going on Sankirtan, but, you know, counting out the minutes till prasadam time. So that's the anamaya platform. And then manamaya meant the platform. Vijnana, you like to achieve, get knowledge. Vijnana, realization, you practice, you know, some spiritual stuff. And then Anandamaya means basically you're just experiencing ecstasy. And then you're aloof from everything else. So even like with dealing with children, that too often the parents try, if they're Krishna conscious or thinking they're Krishna conscious, they too often don't understand the child is just on the Anamaya platform or the Manamaya platform. Just Just like, you know, yesterday there was a child in the class, a little baby, and he was going, ah! And I was thinking, why is he in such maya? You know, but he may be a great pure devotee, but somehow or other, you know, in the body, in the situation he's in right now, he's on the, you know, either anamaya or pranamaya platform. And then they brought him to my room, and he was just trying to reach out to everything he could see in my room, like on the computer, the offering to the deities. You know, and I was thinking, oh my God, glad I'm a sannyasi. Anyway, so... But at the same time, you know, being compassionate, that's the platform he's at. You don't chastise a child for being on that platform. You don't. And so we sometimes we chastise devotees and give them guilt trips for being on a platform where they're not ready to transcend that particular platform. We have to deal with them on that platform. Like you deal with a child on that platform. You give them some prasada, you speak nicely, you're tolerant and everything like that. So, yeah, I just want to apologize for being too heavy in class about it. Yesterday about, you know, it's just the modes. Anyway, and all the poor devotees who left my room crying yesterday after I told them it was just the modes. So, anyway, so compassion must be there. And with that compassion and people's needs being satisfied, they can gradually come up through the modes, through the different stages of consciousness, through their needs, and then ultimately achieve the state of Anandamaya Vyasat. So this is the point I wanted to make. So any questions or comments about this? Yes?
What if devotee thinks that he is on a higher platform than he actually is and he's trying to project this on the outside? So how can we then know how to treat that person?
Well, that's an interesting question. If a devotee thinks he's an I and he's projecting it, you know, this is false pride, of course, or he wants to be accepted or something like that, devotee needs to have some mentor. That's why we have a nice mentor program, you know, whether your mentor is directly the spiritual master. You know, what I'm thinking is in the future, we have to have the spiritual masters who are localized. I've talked about that before. So rather than someone just traveling around. The sannyasis can travel around the world, you know, inspiring people and not taking any responsibility. So, that's a joke. So, but, you know, and then the gurus could be the local people who are training people up in Krishna consciousness, you know, on a day-to-day basis, taking responsibility. I think that that's a better paradigm than the one we have right now. Much better paradigm. So, you know, if you have a local mentor who you have faith in, then the mentor will actually say that, you know, you're just not on that platform yet, right now. And in the Jiva Dharma, you actually see this in the interactions between Brajanath and Vijay, you know, his uncle, and their spiritual master, how he's gauging their advancement. Of course, they're advancing pretty quickly if you read if you read the Jiva Dharma, you know, one day he's teaching them the Dashamula, you know what the Dashamula is, and the next day they're talking about their Siddhadeya. It's, you know, it's just, it's really accelerated advancement. And I think in many cases, that sort of advancement takes place over many lifetimes. You understand what I mean? I mean, it's Bhavanam Janmanamante Ganavamam Prabhajite. So, I think we have to be ready also to be patient with people over many lifetimes. We have to be ready to be patient with ourselves over many lifetimes. And, you know, if we have some mentorship, didati pratiganati guryamakyati prichati, that's what it means, then we can understand our platform of devotional service and not take to renunciation or too much renunciation prematurely. And be established in the proper varna, the proper ashram, to understand our needs. Just like, you know, I'm very happy being a sannyasi. But it was just by accident I took sannyasi. Not by accident, because I wanted Mahaprasad. But, I was only 28 years old when I took sannyasi. That's young. You know, as a kid, you know. I think most of you are over 28 here. And at 28, you don't know what you... I mean, it would have been nice to have mentors, you know, who, you know, help facilitate that understanding. And I'm happy I did it. But many people did it, and they later on didn't make it for a variety of reasons. You know, it was my nature. But I'm also aware of other needs I have. I mean, for example, like I love to study things. I mean, not only Krishna consciousness, but I love to just like study history, philosophy, and science, right, Ananda? We have a discussion, I said this the other day, a discussion about science with Ananta, and I was just feeling such ecstasy. I said, oh my God. You know, all the astasattvika bhavas were manifest in my body, as well as the vyabhachari bhavas, when we started talking about microbiology and the DNA. So then I recognized I have some need to use my mind. It's called the Yanamoya, I hope. Not Manamoya. Anyways, so I had some basic need, and you know, it made me happy. And I was using it in Krishna's service. I wasn't becoming a follower of Richard Dawkins, you know, the biggest nasty atheist in the world. Anyway, so we have to figure out, you know, how to engage our mind, too, and something that really excites us. And, that's how we remain stable. I mean, if you just told me every day just to do some simple service, I mean, I like doing simple service. I love cleaning the pots in Krishna's kitchen. I mean, I love it. But if you asked me to do it all day long, it wouldn't engage my mind. So I don't mind, you know, doing it for an hour a day. But other people, you know, that's their nature. And they do it and they're in ecstasy all day long. And me, you know, I can read about microbiology all day long and I'm in complete ecstasy and can't sleep at night because I'm shivering in ecstasy. So, and other people like management. You know, we have people in GBC who just like, and they get their teeth into some management, it's just like, oh, so ecstatic, and I'm sitting there, oh my God. And the GBC meeting is like, oh my God, it wasn't for Prabhupada, I wouldn't be doing this. So, I mean, there's different natures, and I think we have to recognize, and different needs, material needs and spiritual needs, that we have to recognize and situate people properly, and there has to be mentorship to help the devotees. You know, it's really important. You know, someone who really cares for us. You know, someone who's ministers us, isn't it? You know, that's what a minister is. A minister, actually the word minister means you minister people. And you care for them. And also that's good. That's traditionally, that was the sannyasi's role too. You know? They would come and give advice. And because the sannyasis traditionally didn't have any managerial responsibility, it was a different scenario. So, any other questions or comments? Yes?
Here's a question again on Facebook Live.
Facebook Live.
How to keep Krishna always in the center if you are a great husband?
Just keep your wife in the center. Then your life will be peaceful and you can chant nicely. I mean, it sounds funny, but it's more true than false. Because if your wife is peaceful, then you will be peaceful. And your wife... I mean, it's true. Isn't it true, ladies? Because if your wife isn't that peaceful, she'll make your life like hell. And then you won't be able to keep Krishna in the center. That's one, I mean, it's a joke, but it's true. Okay. And then, so going further into it, just see that you're meant to serve your wife and children, to help them become Krishna consciousness. I don't want to say make them, but facilitate their Krishna consciousness. See them as part and parcel of Krishna. See yourself as a servant of them. And the wife should see herself as a servant to the rest of the family. Everybody should see themselves as a servant. And then once you see things in a Krishna conscious perspective, it doesn't matter where you are. You'll see Krishna everywhere and in everything. We were talking to some devotees last night, younger devotees. And they were talking about when they use the word non-devotees, and of course I don't like that word. I said, we should see everyone as a devotee. And we should think of ourselves as one manina manadena. Is that Lord Chaitanya says, Trinadapi Sunichana, Toriva Suhishana, Manina Manadena, Kirtanyas. One should be devoid of false prestige, but how? What is the symptom? What is the methodology? Manadena, offering all respects to others, not just devotees. So if we see ourselves as servants of others in becoming Krishna, helping them become Krishna conscious, then that's the proper attitude in House of Life. And then House of Life, for those who have that particular psychophysical nature, can be very helpful for someone to become Krishna conscious. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur said the preferable type of sannyasa in Kali Yuga is Kshetra sannyasa, where one remains with the wife and they serve Krishna. So that's the preferable type of renunciation. Because, you know, someone actually takes the regular order of sannyas, there's so many tests. I mean, there's false prestige. Everyone calls you Maharaj, great king. Yeah, can you imagine that? When you go around, everybody calls you Maharaj, great king, and they're ready to fan you. It's like some Hindi movie where you see this big demon sitting on the throne and all the girls around him with the peacock fans. I mean, I was just looking at someone mentioned yesterday some bogus person who's, I'm not going to mention his name, who's very popular here in Europe. He has thousands of followers. So I just wanted to see, you know, what he does so I can become like him. No, that's all. I just wanted to see what he does, you know, because he has all these thousands of followers. He's based in Germany. He's making a temple in Maribor. You may not know about this. I just wanted to see. I was just like... And, yeah, and then, of course, I read about his legal implications in the United States, why he can't go back because, you know, of sexual abuse charges. Anyway, so that's another issue. But he, you know, obviously. But he's just like... It's a movie star, you know. You know, people worship movie stars. I was just with several movie stars in India. I don't know if anyone here was with me when I was with this very famous movie star. And actually, it's funny. He was staying right next to me at Govardhan. And I wanted to see him to give him Prabhupada's book. You know, Bhagavad Gita, book distribution. So his guards were all like, "No, you can't go to see him. I'm an American. No, you can't." So I thought, how can I see him? All right. We had one of the girls with us, you know, young girl, attractive girl. So I said, I'll send her over. It's like the story of Rishi Sringa, you know. You know, from the Ramayana. So I send her over. I'd like to see, his name is Akshay Kumar. You can look him up later on. He's very famous. So she said, I'd like to see him. The guards just let down their guards. She walks in. My guru would like to see you. And so he's like... He follows her. He walks over to my house. Whereas previously I could never see him. And I say, here's the Bhagavad Gita. And then he wakes up. So then, oh, Bhagavad Gita! And it was so successful that that day on his Facebook page, which is looked at by millions and millions of people daily, he said, today I was blessed. I got this book, and he put a picture of the Bhagavad Gita on his Facebook page. Millions of people saw the picture. Today was I was blessed. So anyway, so it's a funny story. So I was looking at the spiritualist. It reminded me of Akshay Kumar. You know, he's just like, you know, vanity was just like pouring out of his pores. You know what vanity is? Vanity. You know, pride. Anyway, someone's vain. You know, I can act like that too. Yes, that's vanity. All you poor souls, I bless you. Of course, I'm not very good at it. So, I'd have to dress differently, get myself some silk dhotis, maybe have some earrings and some rings here. Then maybe I could do it. So, but people are so foolish. You know, you like Prabhupada said, you know, this world is the cheaters and cheated. And if someone is supposed to, wants to be cheated, Krishna will send a cheater. And this is not just a criticism of him, it's just in general. Oh, you're showing him pictures of them.
No.
Right in the middle of the class. I mean. You know, so anyway, this strategy is they're appealing to people's, you know, basic animal needs. And it works for them. So, anyway, any other questions?
One small question.
One small question, yeah.
So, I'll be done. I would like to ask about these consciousness, levels of consciousness.
Yes.
I remember a bit of one verse from Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says that for the ordinary man, a devotee looks like he's acting, he's mundane.
Yeah.
But in fact, he's spiritual acting. So maybe we can see someone that he's acting mundane, but in effect, he's on a platform of connection with Krishna. How can we relate to that?
Well, you can relate by what they say, not by what they look like, really. That's a good question. And some people, you may see their actions, like the story of Pundarik Vijayaniti. He was a great pure devotee of the Lord, and he was acting, you know, just very, like I described, like a dapper gentleman, use an English term. And it was described, he was a great devotee. But so Prabhupada said that you can tell the difference between a fool and a devotee by what they say. And then Prabhupada gave the example of the jackal. You may not have heard this story. Once upon a time, there was a jackal. Jackal is a wild dog. And the jackal was somehow, there was some paint, purple paint or something, spilled on the jackal. And he looked really cool. Effulgent. You know, effulgent jackal. I guess it was like glitter paint or something. And so, because he looked really good, and he was just a dog, but he looked good. And they dressed him up. And they put him on the king's throne in the forest. This is a Hitopadesh story. It's not a true story, obviously. You know. Jackals don't talk, and lions don't talk. You know, this is, it's not that I'm saying, oh yeah, there's a talking jackal. So anyway, so they put him on the throne, and normally the king of the forest is the lion, right? Lion King, anyone seen that movie? Anyway, so, Walt Disney movie. So normally he's a lion. So put him on the throne. Everyone was offering obeisance. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to you, Jackal Poo Poo. So then what happened is that it became dusk. That means the sun went down. And the other jackals at the time of the sun going down, what do? They go, I don't know. I can't imitate a jackal sound. Can anyone do it? No. No. Maybe someone could do it. But in Mayapur, you hear them all the time at night. Jackals, wild dogs. And then that jackal started howling. So as soon as he started howling like a jackal, they understood, he is a jackal. And then the lion, who's the natural king, started to recite the Prashadam prayer. And the jackal became Jackal Prasad. So the moral of the story is you can tell a fool from a real person by what they say and how they engage people, how they deal with people. I mean, there's other practical things too, not so much how they look. But, you know, it shouldn't be like a movie star. Movie stars, you know, could say this person has so many followers, therefore must be bona fide. No. Movie stars have so many followers. Like I said, I've been with these movie stars. They're surrounded by paparazzi. I was with another one, Vivek Oberoi. And all these girls are surrounding him, 100,000s of girls. And they're all like, ooh. And he's twirling his little mustache. And they're going, huh, like that. And then during the 1960s, we had the cockroaches. No, I know they're the Beatles. But anyway, we had the Beatles, and the auditorium, they had this stadium. You know what a stadium is? A stadium is where, like a football stadium or something, 30,000 people came to see them. Wow. You know, and I like them. You know, I like at least George. So, and I listened to their songs too. I used to. And so 30,000, they were screaming, yelling, yes, George, Ringo, you know, whatever, John, you know, so just numbers don't indicate anything to me. You know, one has to have some intelligence and see how people are being attracted and see for what reason, like that. You know, and just because people are experiencing some material emotions doesn't mean it's spiritual. It means it's, and they may need it. People may need to have some material emotions. I'm not denying people their right. Like I said, I was going to be nicer this morning. So, all right, we have to end because we're leaving this morning. You're all going to be lucky to be not here, my... You know, you're not, it's just the modes anymore. Anyways, Vishnu, Vishnu, Vishnu. So it was a nice trip here. I really enjoy being here. The devotees are very friendly, jolly, intelligent. The kirtans are nice, and you're all dedicated to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, so. It's nice. This is Panchatattva Temple. I was thinking this morning, I'll just tell you one realization I had. I was, you know, during the kirtan, I was, you know, close to the edge of the altar there. And actually, I could feel the spiritual energy emanating from Panchatattva. It was just like a tsunami. You know what a tsunami is? No. A tsunami is when you have an earthquake and the ocean produces these gigantic waves that pull the people in and drown them. So I was just feeling, I mean, it wasn't like intellectual or anything, it was just like a feeling. I could actually feel that spiritual, like, energy, like, emanating from the Panchatattva. And it was just like, right at the edge of the altar, you know, where the gate is and everything like that, it was just like, oh my God! It's too much. Too much. Maybe they'll make me a devotee. Oh, no. No, anything but that. So you're very lucky that you are able to worship Panchatattva here. This is very merciful. I mean, Shyadhyayi Sankirtanar Prayar Yajanti Hi Sumedasa. So this is the manifestation of that verse of the Bhagavatam, that those who have sufficient brain substance in this age of Kali will worship the Lord with Sankirtan. So thank you very much on that happy note.
All glories to His divine grace. Shri Prabhupada, Shri Prabhupada, Ki Jai. We'll let everybody see. What you see, the happy devotees here. More devotees, happier devotees, and then Panchatara.